Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss, for the sake of Jesus. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some points you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await the Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Amen. There's a lot in there. There's more than I'm going to cover today, because I'm not planning to preach round the clock. I'll try and keep it to a sensible, normal length of time. This passage is J-shaped. I thought you'd appreciate that, because obviously we've looked at U-shaped passages recently and read it out again today, the great description of Jesus' descent from heaven, suffering on the cross and return to heaven again, that great U-shaped passage in Ephesians 2. Well, this is J-shaped. I feel like I should be on Sesame Street here. Today's program has been brought to you with the letters U and J. As you did all watch Sesame Street, right? Sorry, it's probably not a current thing, is it? Have you seen Sesame Street? You have? Oh, good. Good. No, Big Bird's yellow. Come on. I was listening to the radio the other day, Tuesday the 5th of May, Radio 4. It was caught the second half of these academics talking about a piece of research that they published, which was about status. It was about status. And a number of things that I did catch, I didn't quite catch the very beginning of what they were saying, but a number of things I did catch. One was that When we meet someone for the first time, we judge them and form an opinion about their status within a few minutes. Do they have a high status? Do they have a low status? Do they have a higher status than me? Do they have a lower status than me? We make that judgment very quickly. Another thing they said was that those who have low status or feel like they have low status often suffer in their mental health with depression or schizophrenia. Well, it's interesting. I thought that was interesting. Because here in this passage, we have Paul talking about his status as a Jew. He says, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law of Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. And we remember in Acts, there's various bits at the beginning of Acts where Paul was involved in the persecution of the church. The church feared him. He had status in Israel as someone that the Jews saw as a young and dynamic leader. He had status in the church as someone that the Christians, early Christians, feared. He had a lot of status. And actually, when we look at our behavior, and we look at the behavior in the world, and we look at the behavior in the playground, and we look at the behavior in the corporate world, a lot of it is pursuing status. Worldly status. Trying to big ourselves up. Often at the expense of others. Think of what's behind most bullying. It's about pushing somebody else down so that we can get a little bit higher. Somebody's below me now because I've bullied them. Even having status as the school bully is still status. You think about Prime Minister's Question Time. When you hear the denigrating and the rubbishing and the pulling down of the opposition and of their ideas and of their character and of their judgment, pushing them down to push yourself up, gain more status. Think of, you can see it in every part of life. And this is remember, we're looking at the letter J today. Okay, this is about trying to get yourself up from the bottom, up a little bit higher, give yourself a little bit of glory, get yourself a little bit noticed, get yourself your opinions counted and worth something. It's about going that way, up there. Can you see my J? Is it clear enough? Just about. This is high tech. Can you see that? Well, I thought I could ask Chris to get a J up there, or George to get a J up there, but I thought they'd probably do a capital J or a lowercase J with a dot. I don't want those J's. I want this J. I'm sure there is a font with this J. But it's about going up here, pushing yourself a little higher, gaining a little bit of worldly status by whatever means necessary. Nope. Sorry, I have to turn back to my notes. Can't just look at the J. Is it so wrong necessarily to want to pursue glory for ourselves? I don't know. I think that's a little thought here, because actually if you look, we're going to start journeying through this J, through the bottom of the J and up the other side. And just remember that thought about glory and status. There's sort of two little ideas here. So, let's see what happens in the passage next. Paul, having declared his status, his worldly status, his human status, then says, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. So when he had his moment on the Damascus Road where he met Jesus and he repented, he lost his status amongst the Jews. as a dynamic young leader to be trusted with the persecution of the Christian church. He lost that status. And you can see that in the story of Acts when he returns to Jerusalem. The Jews want to get him. They want to get him. He has given up that status that he had as a Hebrew of Hebrews, as a Jew of Jews, as a Pharisee, as all of these things. Because he knew that by doing so, he was gaining a much greater status. He repented. Repent means to turn around. We need to repent of pursuing worldly status. We need to turn around. We need to be prepared to offer that as our sacrifice to God. And that last verse of the last song that we sung, were the whole realm of nature mine, it would be an offering too small to offer. If we had the status of all statuses, it was an offering too small to offer as our sign of repentance and as our turning to Christ. Because as we repent, we are, the Bible talks about us being crucified with Christ. We are crucified with Christ. We die with him. We die to the world. We die to our desire for status in the world. We die to our aspiration. He's no longer passenger. He's the driver of the car that we're in. Hand over to Jesus. We give it all up. We make that sacrifice for the greater gain that it talks about in this passage and we'll go to in a minute. But we're crucified with him. We suffer with Christ. We journey with him. Not by works are we going to be saved now. We're not striving by works to gain status. We are going to be taking a different road. We are given it as a gift. We have a new status, a better status. We are sons and daughters of God. Could there be a better status than that? Could there be? Think about it. We are co-heirs with Christ. Is that a big enough status for you? Co-heir with Christ. He has called us friend. We call him Lord, that's right. But we also call him friend. We say Abba, Father. That's like saying Daddy to God who made everything. I mean, what's our status? We have been given by grace. It's way, way bigger and better than anything we could obtain by pursuing a worldly route. Okay? This is who we are as Christians. Not where we are yet. As we'll see as we read on in the passage. It's not where we are yet. We have to continue to strive to these things, but it's who we are. So let's go on with our reading of the passage. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is starting to talk about how in our J we were trying to travel up here to gain worldly status. We're sacrificing that, we're crucified with Christ, but now this is our identity, seated with Christ in heavenly realms, Son of God, daughter of God, because we're Son of Jesus. We are co-heirs. That's a better way to put it. Thank you, Annie. We're up here now, and it was interesting. I was thinking about what does this mean for humility. What does this mean for how do we live today, because we have a great status, which can't be taken away. I remember when I was thinking about this, I was remembering Emma's talk about, you know, you changing to you and serving each other and, you know, all of that that she spoke of last time. And I was reminded of one time when I was a young teacher. I was teaching a maths class, and I was helping some student with their struggles. And I was kneeling, but they were sat at their desk. I was kneeling next to them and helping them with their work. And there was a little bit of my mind thinking, this is a good image here. This is me serving as a leader, as a teacher in this classroom. I've got the authority, but I am serving this student. The deputy head who came in, he was a really good guy, really helpful, really good leader in the school that I was at. He came in, just saw how the teaching was going and whatever, and breezed in, caused a riot, and then walked out again, as the school leaders like to do. And then, but later on he caught up with me and said, yeah, you know, good lesson, whatever, etc. But I don't think it's appropriate, really, for you to be kneeling next to the students. You should, you know, by all means help them out, but I think he thought it was somewhat demeaning, perhaps. But I was thinking back on that recently, I was thinking about on that a moment ago, and I was thinking that actually, you know what, my status can't be taken away. So I am okay to serve others. I'm okay to serve however I need to. It's okay for me to humble myself in the world's eyes, because my status is secure. It's in Christ. It was given as a gift by grace. I'm not losing any status by humbling and serving other people. Whereas in the world's eyes, perhaps I would be. If I had worldly status and I, you know, this is something that I treasure and I value and I'm pursuing worldly status, if I'm to kneel next to somebody and wash their feet, I'm giving that worldly status a bit of a kicking, aren't I? I'm losing a bit of it, but I'm not losing my godly status. So from that place we were able to serve. And, you know, I think at some level we were made for glory. You think back to the Garden of Eden, we were lords of creation. We named the creatures. The Lord God brought each one before Adam and Eve, and we named them and had dominion and rule over them. Yes, we gave that up because of our sin. I have a little story to tell you about that sin in a second, from the conversation I had with James on the way to Beavers. It's a slight digression. But since we're crucified with Christ, he was the second Adam, there is a restoration going on in terms of our dominion over creation. We are made to rule and reign in this earth. And so I think there is a part of us that hungers for glory. I was reminded of this when I was thinking back yesterday and talking to a chap who was three girls do football with James on Saturday morning. And we were reminiscing about times when we almost did glorious things on the sports field. My almost glorious moment was a match at school where the second 15 were playing against the third 15. I was in the third 15. It was very close. It was a kickoff after some points were scored. Ball came straight to me. I was in the open space. Score was something like 6-6 at this point, really close. And I ran with this ball. And I ran and I really nearly scored a try. Really close. And I was tackled by the one last person. And I still think about it. I think, oh, why didn't I just do a little shimmy or put my hand out to stop him or something? Because then the thirds would have beaten the seconds and that would have been great. It would have stirred everything up and I'd have had the glory. Funny, isn't it? That was, what, how many years ago? 30-ish years ago. I still think about it. That moment of glory that I almost got but I didn't have because of it. Tackled just on the try line, and we didn't score. But these little moments, why does that still matter to me? Why have I even remembered that memory? Because this part of me still hungers for the glory and for the status that would have come from it. Oh yes, slight digression. And James was talking about, he said to me, what's that lump that men have in their neck? And I said, it's an Adam's apple. So he's thinking, well, so Adam, right, we had this interesting discussion about about whether it was right or wrong for Adam to have eaten the apple, which was good. It was an important discussion. And he agreed with me eventually that it was wrong that Adam ate the apple. But what my brain went through was thinking, well, what we've learned from this is that Adam was fairly uncouth, because he obviously swallowed great chunks of the apple that got stuck in his throat, whereas Eve didn't. She chewed it up properly. Anyway, that's a total digression. Back to the message. That's not the bit you're supposed to remember, by the way. If you want to remember the sermon, think of the J. Think of the J. Yep, J. Or the U, if that's any help. Yes. But I think C.S. Lewis understood this idea about our status and who we are as Christians. So if you think about the Narnia story, the children go into Narnia and they are made kings and queens of Narnia. King Peter, King Edmund, Queen Lucy and Queen Susan by Aslan, Jesus. They didn't earn it, they wasn't born into it, but they were made into these kings and queens. And they ruled that land for the good of the creatures, for the safety, extending the kingdom, all of these things that we think about in spiritual terms, like growing the kingdom of God. They were entrusted by Aslan with this lordship and this rule. As a symbol, I think, a metaphorical symbol, of our position in Christ as Christians. Now, we were learning on a trip that we made to some castle, Bolsover Castle, in Derbyshire, at, what have we just had holiday? Was it Easter? Was it half term? It was half term, wasn't it? And it was an English heritage castle, and they were doing, for the children, chivalry lessons. So learning how to be a knight or a princess, and not wearing the armour, and learning how to curtsy, bow, all those kind of things. And it was interesting, the curtsy and the bow. It's about, you go a little lower, and the person you're serving them, isn't there a little symbol, an image, and I don't know how to do a curtsy or something like this, isn't it? You kind of go a bit lower, but you still keep your eyes on that person, but you make your eyes lower than that person. Or your bow, you're kind of looking up a little. There's a sort of element of humbling ourselves. But the people who did these bows and these curtsies were the lords and the knights and the princesses of, they were the aristocracy of their day. Symbolism of being, yes, I'm in leadership, but I'm also here to serve. Like Emma spoke of 2 weeks ago. Yes, we are sons of heaven, sons and daughters of God. We are co-heirs with Christ, but our role is to serve. And there's no lost status in service, because it's given as a gift by grace. That took a bit less time than I thought it would. In practice, it took 20 minutes. But have I? Okay, well, I have actually more or less come to the end. So I think there's some consequences for us in this. I'm just going to read the last little passage bit again, because there's a warning here. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enabled him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So in Paul's warning, he's urging us to run the race like him. We were talking about how Paul Bennison is a role model to us. Run the race like Paul. Be mature like Reg. Not turn back to earthly things and seek your glory in earthly ways, and not put God as your stomach. Paul says, with tears, some have turned back to pursuing earthly glory. So let us sacrifice earthly glory and let's pursue heavenly glory. This is hard. I have a client who, his financial situation, him and his family, is terrible. His wife works. He did work. He had a good professional job. But his mental health really suffered. I think he got a little bit promoted, a little bit beyond what he could deal with. And he strove really hard to hold this and make this work. But it didn't. And he ended up crashing and burning, having a breakdown. He hasn't worked for years. But the tragedy in this situation is that their family budget can't work unless he takes a job. Any job. He could take any job at all, and it would make their situation work. Better. Work. It would make their situation work. So if you got a job stacking shelves, doing warehouse work, on the checkout at Tesco's, doesn't matter, any job would bring enough to make their budget balance and for them to be able to keep their home. But he can't bring himself to do it. Having had that status in the world of having a professional job, he can't now bring himself to take a meaningful job. And so they're probably going to lose their home. It's sad, but it's so powerful, it's so strong, a desire for status. So strong. It's really hard to do that. But that's what we're called to do. For something that's even better. So let's pray. Let's finish with a prayer. Heavenly Father, if we look honestly at our lives, there are times, even today, where we have perhaps put too much attachment to earthly status, how others see us, what other people we respect think about us. The status of having a better job with more kudos. We've pursued these things, Lord, perhaps, Lord, without consulting you. We ask, Lord, you'd forgive us. You'd help us to sacrifice our status to you as our gift, as our offering, far too small. Knowing, Lord, that in you we have an eternal and a heavenly and a wonderful and a greater status and glory and honor. We turn to you, Lord, we repent of all the ways where we have pursued glory for ourselves. We turn to you and we say, help us, Lord. Help us to run the race like Paul did and like others that we know do. Help us to passionately pursue you, to run the race, to win the prize, to get the medal. In Jesus' name, Amen.